Astori Publishing presents Vital Links, Prologue. Just before dawn on the first Monday of July 2022, the lights came on in a Minneapolis conference room that could have doubled as a surgical suite. White walls, stainless fixtures, the faint hum of air scrubbers. Karen Patel, head of global sourcing for the world's largest cardiac device maker, clicked open a spreadsheet showing 142 pacemaker models, each depending on a single integrated circuit now trapped in a semiconductor backlog running 52 weeks. 1% of their revenue, 100% of ours, she murmured, summarizing the asymmetry that would dominate the day's meeting. Two time zones away in Austin, foundry manager Miguel Rosales was signing allocation charts of his own. During the pandemic, the plant had chased lucrative automotive contracts, because cars buy chips by the millions, while medical devices buy by the thousands. Still, Miguel couldn't shake the image of ventilators idled for lack of a $5 microcontroller. The moral weight unsettled him more than the nightly calls from Detroit lobbyists. Across the Atlantic, procurement chief Dr. Lena Fischer walked the corridors of Berlin's Charité Hospital. On her phone, a message flashed. Tariff schedules for Asian lithium batteries had changed again, effective midnight. She calculated what that meant for the wireless insulin pumps she had promised to 200 diabetes patients on a waiting list. Tariff, she reminded her staff, was a customs tax that could swing landed cost by double digits in a single stroke of geopolitics. The same morning in Washington, junior policy analyst David Cho slid a draft across his director's desk. Tucked inside the CHIPS and Science Act was a clause carving out tax credits for medical-grade wafers, silicon sliced in contamination-free clean rooms that withstand steam sterilization cycles. The director raised an eyebrow. Will it be enough to tilt leverage back toward the device makers? David had no answer yet, only the latest forecast. United States sales on track for $188.7 billion in 2024, 40% of the global pot, and a projected compound annual growth rate and average yearly climb of 6.8% through 2032. He knew numbers didn't heal hearts when sensors failed to ship. Five actors, one collision course, Patel's billion-dollar purchasing plan, Rosales's allocation ledger, Fisher's tariff clock, chose draft legislation. And, unmentioned yet ever-present, 78-year-old Arthur Miles, whose pacemaker battery would empty in 11 months. The backdrop is a marketplace as varied as human anatomy. Magnetic resonance scanners that read tissue layers, knee implants milled to thousandths of a millimeter, in vitro diagnostics, lab tests run outside the body that trace viruses in a single droplet, all fall under the tag medical device. Each product passes through a regulatory gauntlet before an FDA clearance. Legal permission to sell lets it near a patient. Once a part is designed in, swapping suppliers means new bench tests, fresh validation runs, and months of paperwork, a series of hurdles economists call switching costs. Yet demand surges. Populations age, chronic diseases spread, and doctors ask for smarter tools. Artificial intelligence algorithms now parse CT images in seconds. 3D printers lay down titanium dust to build patient-specific spinal cages. Innovation widens the menu and narrows the supply base. A patented coating that keeps blood from clotting on stents may come from only two factories worldwide. A piezoelectric sensor tuned for low-dose ultrasound might be the sole product of a single Japanese line shut for maintenance twice a year. When any link snaps, Arthur's replacement pacemaker stays on a shipping pallet instead of reaching the catheter lab. So the central question looms. In a sector racing toward $1 trillion global dollars, who truly holds the power? The manufacturers that place their brand on the box, or the quieter companies that forge the steel, spin the chips, and blend the polymers? Porter's classic Five Forces names supplier bargaining power as one pillar of profit. But July 2022 reveals something more visceral. Lives, margins, and national policy now balance on procurement cells, tariff codes, and cleanroom yields. Karen Patel ended her meeting with a single directive: find redundancy without losing a quarter. Miguel upped medical allocation by 2%, a mere gesture. Lena authorized emergency tenders in Mexico before tariffs shifted again. David sent his draft upstairs, hoping Congress moved faster than aging batteries. And Arthur Miles laced his walking shoes, unaware that a wafer fab in Texas, a tariff office in Brussels, and a spreadsheet in Minneapolis had already started the countdown to his next surgery. Chapter 1 opens where the spreadsheet leaves off, tracing how a 40% U.S. market share became both shield and shackle, and why the first crack appeared not in a balance sheet, but in a cargo manifesto bound for Long Beach. End of prologue. The United States stands as the largest national marketplace for medical devices, capturing roughly 40% of global industry revenue. To illustrate, the U.S. medical device sector was valued at approximately $188.7 billion in 2024, with forecasts suggesting it will exceed $314 billion by 2032. This represents a compound annual growth rate of about 6.8%, a figure that is enviable for most manufacturing sectors and underscores the sector's resilience and potential for continued expansion. On the global stage, the broader medical technology, or medtech, industry rebounded after the acute phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. Industry trackers estimate that 2023 global medtech revenue fell between $587 billion and $595 billion, with expectations that it will top $678 billion by 2025. Demographic aging, the rising prevalence of chronic disease, and an ongoing demand for diagnostic and therapeutic innovation drive this steady climb. For example, the growing need for managing chronic conditions such as diabetes has fueled demand for continuous glucose monitors and other diabetes care technologies. The medical device label encompasses a diverse range of products. Diagnostic imaging systems, such as magnetic resonance imaging and computed tomography scanners, account for about 20% of aggregate market receipts. Therapeutic and surgical equipment, including robotic surgical systems, energy-based devices, and a wide array of implantables, contributes an estimated 18%. In vitro diagnostics represents roughly 10% of the market. Orthopedic implants, cardiovascular devices like pacemakers and coronary stents, diabetes care technologies, and a fast-growing class of wearables for at-home monitoring fill out the remaining share. This diverse product portfolio supports a competitive landscape where multinational conglomerates like Medtronic, Johnson & Johnson, Abbott, and Boston Scientific operate alongside specialized MIDS manufacturers and highly focused startups. The industry's competitive intensity is high, yet it remains open to targeted innovation. Digitalization has enabled the development of artificial intelligence algorithms embedded in imaging platforms, which shorten interpretation time and improve diagnostic specificity. Connectivity technologies now allow for remote monitoring of cardiac rhythm devices, insulin pumps, and even surgical robotics, enhancing patient care and clinician flexibility. The COVID-19 pandemic exposed vulnerabilities in the medical device supply chain, particularly in raw materials, semiconductors, and specialized sterilization services. A 2022 report from the U.S. National academies highlighted the need for greater transparency in Tier 2 and Tier 3 sourcing, strategic stockpiles, and selective reshoring of critical inputs. By 2025, about 45% of U.S. healthcare organizations had assembled crisis teams and renegotiated supplier contracts in response to tariff volatility and geopolitical tension. Michael Porter's Five Forces framework offers a useful lens through which to analyze the industry's competitive dynamics. Supplier bargaining power is a critical determinant of industry profitability. Suppliers range from producers of stainless steel tubing and medical-grade polymers to vendors of precision optics and complex microelectronic assemblies. At first glance, the broad geographic distribution of suppliers suggests a favorable position for device makers, as interchangeable components can be sourced from multiple regions, moderating supplier leverage. However, a closer look reveals a more complex picture. Advanced detector arrays for imaging systems, for instance, are supplied by only a handful of producers worldwide. Medical-grade semiconductors that can withstand harsh sterilization environments are similarly concentrated among a few firms. Proprietary coatings that reduce thrombogenicity on cardiovascular stents or promote osseointegration of orthopedic implants may be patent-protected, leaving device manufacturers with limited sourcing options. Once a component is designed into a device that has received regulatory clearance, switching to a different supplier becomes a costly and time-consuming process. Suppliers, aware of these challenges, often negotiate multi-year contracts that lock in their position. The bargaining power of suppliers varies across different input categories. A specialty polymer producer may derive a significant portion of its revenue from medical applications and thus be more inclined to offer competitive pricing. In contrast, semiconductor foundries generate only about 1% of their revenue from medical customers. During the 2021 to 2022 global chip shortage, chipmakers prioritized automotive and consumer electronic sectors, leaving device manufacturers to face lead times of over 52 weeks for certain integrated circuits. Recent analyses suggest that supplier power has shifted from weak to moderate to high, particularly for technologically advanced inputs with concentrated supplier bases. Inflationary spikes in input costs between 2021 and 2023 eroded operating margins across multiple segments. Industry revenue growth slowed to about 3.5% in 2022, after a post-pandemic rebound of roughly 16% in 2021. Surveys, however, indicate that more than 70% of device companies rely on a single supplier for at least one critical semiconductor, highlighting their vulnerability to supply chain disruptions. Understanding supplier power is crucial for grasping the broader competitive dynamics within the medical device industry. As we proceed, it becomes clear that the industry's future will be shaped by its ability to navigate these dynamics. In part two, we will delve deeper into the structural economics governing each product segment, starting with the 20% share attributed to diagnostic imaging. In this segment, we'll pin the abstract idea of supplier bargaining power to concrete figures, letting the numbers speak for themselves before we move on to trend analysis in part three. Supply chain stress first became visible not on balance sheets, but in boardroom crisis briefings. By 2025, roughly 45% of United States healthcare organizations had convened special teams and renegotiated supplier contracts to cope with tariff volatility and geopolitical tension. That simple statistic captures an industry on edge. Almost one in two provider systems felt compelled to rewrite the fine print that keeps ventilators, stents, and imaging coils flowing into operating rooms. To put this in perspective, the medical device industry relies heavily on a complex web of suppliers, much like a spider's web, where each strand represents a critical component or service. Here are the numbers. More than 70% of medical device companies rely on a single supplier for at least one critical semiconductor. Semiconductor foundries, for their part, derive only about 1% of total revenue from medical customers, a figure that starkly illustrates the imbalance in bargaining power. Lead times during the 2021 to 2022 chip drought stretched beyond 52 weeks for certain integrated circuits. Why does this figure matter? When a tiny sliver of a supplier's sales, barely 1%, comes from healthcare, the supplier feels little pain in reallocating scarce capacity elsewhere, and 70%+ of device makers suddenly have no fallback. This dynamic is akin to a small boat on a stormy sea, vulnerable to the whims of a much larger vessel. Here's how that looks in practice. The semiconductor shortage of 2021 to 2022 forced device makers to accept 52-week lead times, while chip makers prioritized automotive and consumer electronics sectors, highlighting how a 1% revenue slice for suppliers translates into minimal leverage for buyers. Financial statements soon recorded the impact. Inflationary spikes in input costs between 2021 and 2023 trimmed gross margins across multiple medical device segments. Several multinationals acknowledge that component shortages and freight surcharges alone clipped operating margin by multiple percentage points. Industry revenue growth tells the same story in two stark data points. After a post-pandemic rebound of roughly 16% in 2021, growth slowed to about 3.5% in 2022. The plain language takeaway is straightforward. Supplier disruptions and price hikes translated almost immediately into thinner profits and a sharp deceleration in top-line expansion. Switching costs reinforce the arithmetic. Once a component is embedded in a device cleared by regulators, replacing that part means re-qualifying engineering drawings, repeating bench and validation testing, resubmitting documentation, and revalidating the production line. Those activities absorb time and cash, so manufacturers often swallow incremental price increases rather than swap vendors. Suppliers understand this dynamic and routinely lock in multi-year contracts after a component is designed in, cementing their leverage. For instance, a medical-grade semiconductor supplier might negotiate a long-term contract that ensures their product remains the sole choice for a particular device. Differentiation adds another numeric layer. A patented piezoelectric sensor, a specialty polymer that resists thrombosis, or a detector array fine-tuned for low-dose computed tomography comes from only a handful of producers worldwide. In such niches, the effective supplier base can narrow to one or two firms, functionally a micro-monopoly, even though thousands of vendors exist across the broader bill of materials. Device makers, mindful of patient safety and tight regulatory audit trails, hesitate to gamble on unproven alternatives, so the single source captures a premium slice of economic value. To illustrate, consider a coronary stent coated with a proprietary material that reduces thrombogenicity. The supplier of this coating holds significant bargaining power due to the component's critical nature and the regulatory hurdles associated with qualifying alternative sources. Not all suppliers, however, covet forward integration. Entering the finished device arena would demand extensive clinical engineering talent, heavy regulatory infrastructure, and well-established sales channels into hospitals and outpatient centers. Those hurdles keep the threat of suppliers moving downstream relatively low, which tempers but does not erase their ability to command price. Large manufacturers use volume commitments and long-term agreements to secure preferential terms, insulating them when shortages hit. Smaller firms often lack that cushion. Production can pause altogether, or parts must be bought on the spot market at sharply inflated rates. High supplier power thus doubles as a barrier to entry. Technology startups with brilliant ideas still need reliable sensors, coatings, and chips before any surgeon can implant their device. Policy and corporate initiatives aim to soften the edges. Provisions in the CHIPS and Science Act are designed to expand domestic capacity for the specialized semiconductors that go into defibrillators and infusion pumps. Parallel to that, 2023 industry survey confirmed that executives increasingly classify spending on supply security as a strategic investment rather than a discretionary cost. Some incumbents are even pouring capital into in-house battery and sensor lines. Others are certifying secondary and tertiary vendors, accepting higher inventory carrying charges in exchange for resilience. Tariff swings add fresh volatility. Reports from 2025 show that shifting tariff schedules pushed some U.S. device makers to reroute sourcing toward Canadian and Mexican partners, where trade pacts offered comparative stability. When duties change with little warning, the balance of bargaining power can jump from foreign to domestic suppliers overnight, complicating contract terms already strained by scarcity. Here are the key numbers again, placed side by side. Roughly 45% of provider networks formed crisis teams. 70%+ of device companies depend on a lone chip source. Industry revenue growth fell from roughly 16% to about 3.5% in 1 year, and semiconductor foundries continue to log only 1% of sales in medical. Taken together, these metrics confirm a moderate to high supplier power environment, one rooted less in the breadth of the vendor universe and more in the scarcity of vendors that meet stringent technical and regulatory bar. Early academic papers around 2014 painted supplier power as generally weak because metals and plastics were widely available. The data we have just reviewed show how that conclusion has aged. A 2023 Deloitte Outlook and subsequent trade analyses characterize supplier leverage as markedly stronger, especially in electronics, specialized materials, and sterilization services. Looking forward, the demand curve for advanced inputs keeps rising. Artificial intelligence accelerators inside imaging consoles, novel surface chemistries on bioresorbable scaffolds, and ultra-miniaturized wearables all rely on vendors whose numbers remain limited. Unless the supplier base widens at pace, the power asymmetry we quantified today is unlikely to fade quickly. Still, collective efforts to diversify sources, foster transparent partnerships, and push for supportive trade rules could mitigate extreme swings. That sets the stage for our next discussion. In part three, we'll track how these very pressures feed into long-term trend lines, market consolidation, R&D allocation, and emergent regulatory frameworks. So stay with me as we move from the hard statistics we've just explored to the unfolding strategic landscape they foreshadow. In this segment, we uncover how the twin forces of digitalization and post-pandemic turbulence are rewriting the rulebook for medical device makers, regulators, and hospital buyers alike. The story begins with technology that once sounded futuristic, but now ships on pallets every day. Artificial intelligence, for instance, is being integrated into imaging platforms to enhance diagnostic precision. AI algorithms trained on vast imaging datasets are now embedded in hospital scanners, shortening interpretation times from 30 minutes to near real-time insights that surgeons can act upon immediately. A study published in a leading medical journal demonstrated that AI-assisted imaging analysis improved diagnostic accuracy by 15% and reduced interpretation time by an average of 22 minutes. Because diagnostic imaging systems command about 20% of aggregate market receipts, even incremental gains in efficiency ripple across billions of dollars in spending. Connectivity is another transformative force. Remote links now enable clinicians to adjust therapy plans for cardiac rhythm devices, insulin pumps, and even surgical robots without requiring an in-person visit. A pacemaker patient, for instance, can remain at home while encrypted telemetry streams rhythm data to a cardiology dashboard. A bariatric surgeon can fine-tune robotic settings from another floor or another city. To put this into perspective, a typical pacemaker follow-up visit can cost between $100 and $200. Remote monitoring can reduce these costs by up to 70% while improving patient satisfaction. The plain language takeaway is simple. Hardware once isolated inside an operating room is now part of a living network that saves travel time for patients and frees appointment slots for providers. Three-dimensional printing is pushing personalization further. Production lines increasingly feed software files rather than steel dies into printers that lay down titanium powder or biocompatible polymers layer by microscopic layer. The result can be a cranial plate or spinal cage shaped to a single patient's anatomy, or a rapid prototype that surgeons evaluate in days instead of months. For example, a leading orthopedic device manufacturer reported that three-dimensional printing reduced the time required to produce customized implants by 60%, allowing for faster patient treatment. Because therapeutic and surgical equipment represent roughly 18% of market value, even small schedule gains hold commercial weight. Sensor miniaturization rounds out the digital toolkit. Continuous glucose monitors no thicker than a coin sit on the skin and sample interstitial fluid every few minutes. Wearables track arrhythmias while users jog around the block. Advances in microelectromechanical fabrication have put full diagnostic stacks on chips the size of a fingernail, expanding at-home monitoring into areas once limited to hospital telemetry wards. Devices are shrinking, data volume is soaring, and clinical decision-making is moving ever closer to real-time, driven in part by the increasing prevalence of chronic diseases that require continuous monitoring. However, every packet of patient data transmitted through the cloud opens a new vulnerability. Heightened cybersecurity requirements now accompany each Bluetooth beacon and Wi-Fi-enabled implant. Regulators in both the United States and the European Union insist on secure software development lifecycles, penetration testing, and patch management plans before clearance. For example, a major medical device manufacturer was forced to recall thousands of devices due to a cybersecurity vulnerability, resulting in significant financial and reputational losses. Cybersecurity has thus shifted from a maintenance line item to a gating factor that decides whether a product ships at all. Regulation, always rigorous in healthcare, has lengthened accordingly. New rules demand robust lifecycle documentation and expanded post-market surveillance. Review cycles in Washington and Brussels now stretch well beyond historical averages, adding months to pre-market submissions and inflating fixed costs for quality system upkeep. Compliance teams log, archive, and cross-reference every design change so auditors can trace a sensor or software module back to its origin. The flip side is a higher quality and safety bar. Patients gain devices that have survived deeper scrutiny, even if development timelines grow longer. A recent study found that the average time to market for new medical devices increased by 12 months due to increased regulatory requirements. The pandemic layered fresh complexity onto this already demanding backdrop. Concentrated production of raw materials, semiconductors, and specialized sterilization services meant that when COVID-19 roiled global logistics, ventilator assemblies and catheter kits ran short. Lead times for certain integrated circuits stretched past 52 weeks as chip foundries, only about 1% of whose revenue comes from medical customers, prioritized automotive and consumer electronics orders. Device availability suddenly hinged on the health of distant warehouses and cargo routes. In response, the U.S. National Academies issued a 2022 report calling for greater transparency in Tier 2 and Tier 3 sourcing, strategic stockpiles of critical parts, and selective reshoring of vital inputs. By 2025, roughly 45% of U.S. healthcare organizations had assembled crisis teams and renegotiated supplier contracts to cushion against tariff volatility and geopolitical tension that threatened to raise landed costs overnight. Tariff shifts amplify the urgency. Sudden duty increases on Asian electronics or European polymers can swing economics in favor of Canadian or Mexican suppliers protected by regional trade pacts, forcing manufacturers to reroute component flows on short notice. Every rerouting triggers fresh regulatory filings, cybersecurity certifications, and quality audits, extending the development clock again. A leading device manufacturer reported that a 25% tariff on certain imported components increased their costs by $10 million annually, prompting them to reevaluate their supply chain strategy. A company finalizing an insulin pump must now synchronize four timelines: the AI code that tunes basal rates, the connectivity layer that transmits glucose data, the cybersecurity test suite that simulates hacks, and the supply chain map that proves the lithium-ion cell, the microcontroller, and the sterilized tubing can all arrive on the same day despite tariff whiplash. Miss any one link, and the product launch slides, investor guidance wobbles, and patients wait. Taken together, these trends explain why analysts forecast that the U.S. medical device market, already valued near $188.7 billion in 2024 and expected to exceed $314 billion by 2032, will not grow on autopilot. Growth now depends on mastering digital complexity, bolstering cybersecurity, and hardening supply chains against shocks. The compound annual rate of roughly 6.8% remains achievable, but only for firms that weave resilience into every engineering sprint and sourcing contract. We have traced the arc from algorithm to tariff, but abstract forces crystallize best in real stories. In part 4, we follow one product line from concept to operating room, watching how artificial intelligence, remote connectivity, additive manufacturing, regulatory checkpoints, and supply chain pivots intersect in a single case study. By examining concrete examples, we can better understand the practical implications of these trends and how they are reshaping the medical device industry. The medical device industry's complex web of suppliers, ranging from producers of stainless steel tubing and medical-grade polymers to vendors of precision optics and complex microelectronic assemblies, played a critical role in the sector's dynamics between 2021 and 2025. To illustrate, consider the global semiconductor drought of 2021 to 2022, where device makers, representing only about 1% of a typical chip foundry's revenue, were left queuing helplessly as automotive and consumer electronics brands took priority. Lead times for certain medical-grade integrated circuits stretched past 52 weeks, and more than 70% of device companies relied on a single supplier for at least one critical chip. The financial impact was significant. Several multinationals disclosed that component scarcity and freight surcharges alone reduced operating margin by multiple percentage points. For example, a leading manufacturer experienced a notable decline in operating margin due to increased costs associated with securing scarce components. Industry revenue growth reflected this challenge, decelerating from a post-pandemic rebound of roughly 16% in 2021 to about 3.5% in 2022. Large companies were better equipped to weather the crisis due to their ability to negotiate volume commitments and long-term contracts, which allowed them to secure preferential terms. A Fortune-scale manufacturer, for instance, maintained its pacemaker production line by activating a contingent order clause that guaranteed quarterly chip deliveries, limiting shipment delays to just 1 month. In contrast, smaller firms, such as a mid-sized orthopedic robotics startup, faced significant challenges, including an 11-week production halt due to the unavailability of microcontrollers, ultimately leading to merger talks with a larger rival. The switching costs associated with changing suppliers further exacerbated the issue. Once a semiconductor was embedded in a device cleared by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, substituting it required re-qualifying hardware, repeating bench tests, and resubmitting regulatory filings, a time-consuming and costly process. As a result, many manufacturers opted to absorb price hikes rather than restart the validation process. Suppliers, aware of this dynamic, negotiated multi-year contracts upon being designed in, thereby cementing their leverage. The situation was further complicated by tariff volatility in 2025, driven by geopolitical tensions that led to sudden changes in duty schedules and increased landed costs for Asian electronics. In response, roughly 45% of U.S. healthcare organizations formed crisis teams and renegotiated supplier agreements. Some device makers shifted their sourcing to Canadian and Mexican vendors, where regional trade pacts offered more stable rates, while others absorbed the surcharge to avoid restarting the validation process. The industry's response to these challenges included policy initiatives aimed at enhancing supply chain resilience. Provisions in the CHIPS and Science Act were designed to expand domestic capacity for specialized medical semiconductors. A 2023 executive survey found that an increasing number of device CEOs now viewed supply security spending as a strategic investment rather than a discretionary cost. Market leaders announced plans to insource production of certain components, such as batteries and sensors, while others qualified secondary and tertiary vendors, despite the increased overhead associated with carrying extra inventory. The shift in supplier power was reflected in the changing perceptions of industry experts. Early academic studies around 2014 had characterized supplier power as generally weak due to the availability of generic metals and plastics. However, a 2023 Deloitte Outlook, citing the chip and tariff shocks experienced by the industry, re-evaluated supplier leverage as moderate to high, particularly in the areas of electronics, specialty materials, and sterilization services. The significant slowdown in industry revenue growth, from 16% to 3.5%, underscored the critical importance of addressing supplier power. To achieve the forecasted U.S. sales of roughly $314 billion by 2032, the industry must focus on diversified sourcing, resilient logistics, and rapid component qualification. The chip drought and tariff volatility served as stress tests, revealing which firms had developed these capabilities and which had not. As we proceed, the question remains whether the countermeasures now in motion will be sufficient to rebalance the bargaining table in favor of manufacturers, or if the increasing complexity of inputs will further entrench supplier dominance. In this segment, we dissect the ongoing debate over supplier power in medical devices, methodically examining the levers that influence it, and tracing the shift in academic opinion from relative comfort in 2014 to growing caution by 2023. Let's begin with the geographic distribution of suppliers. At first glance, the global map appears to favor manufacturers. Stainless steel tubing, generic polymers, and basic fasteners are readily available across Southeast Asia, Europe, and North America, suggesting a buyer's market. The scale of the global medical device market reinforces this impression. The United States alone accounts for about 40% of worldwide device revenue, estimated at $188.7 billion in 2024, with forecasts indicating growth to over $314 billion by 2032 at a compound annual rate of approximately 6.8%. This substantial market size implies brisk price competition among suppliers for commodity items. However, the picture changes dramatically when we consider specialized components. Advanced detector arrays for diagnostic imaging systems, which generate about 20% of industry revenue, are supplied by only a handful of firms worldwide. Similarly, medical-grade semiconductors capable of withstanding harsh sterilization environments are produced by a concentrated group of manufacturers. Proprietary coatings that reduce thrombogenicity on cardiovascular stents or enhance osseointegration for orthopedic implants are often patent-protected, leaving device manufacturers with limited sourcing options. The practical takeaway is that while geographic diversity offers theoretical choices, specialization constraints frequently negate these options in reality. Specialization constraints directly contribute to switching costs. Once a unique component, such as a sensor or chip, is designed in and regulatory clearance is obtained, replacing it is a complex and costly process. Engineering teams must redraw schematics, replicate bench tests, repeat validation under design control protocols, and submit fresh regulatory documentation to bodies such as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and its European counterparts. Production lines must then be revalidated to ensure identical outputs. These steps are time-consuming and expensive, often taking months or even years to complete. Consequently, many manufacturers prefer to absorb incremental price increases rather than initiate a change. Suppliers, aware of this dynamic, frequently negotiate multi-year contracts before the first commercial shipment, effectively securing their position. Differentiation adds another layer to supplier power. Components that offer unique performance characteristics, such as patented piezoelectric elements in ultrasound probes or specialty polymers that prevent blood clotting on coronary stents, confer quasi-monopoly status on the supplier. Device manufacturers, mindful of patient safety and regulatory scrutiny, are hesitant to adopt unproven substitutes, allowing differentiated vendors to capture a premium share of the economic value. Financial disclosures from several multinational firms underscore the impact. Component shortages and freight surcharges shaved multiple percentage points off operating margins between 2021 and 2023, contributing to the industry's revenue growth slowdown from 16% in 2021 to approximately 3.5% in 2022. The threat of forward integration by suppliers, where an upstream firm enters full-line device manufacturing, appears modest. To compete in the finished device market, a coating company or chip foundry would need to develop significant clinical engineering capabilities, invest heavily in regulatory compliance infrastructure, and establish costly distribution networks into hospitals and ambulatory centers. These barriers deter most suppliers, slightly tempering their leverage. Nonetheless, their existing bargaining edge, derived from scarcity and switching costs, remains substantial. Supplier power interacts with other forces, notably buyer power and rivalry. Hospitals and group purchasing organizations negotiate aggressively, so if input costs rise but device prices cannot, manufacturer margins compress. During the semiconductor shortage, foundries prioritized automotive and consumer electronics contracts, as medical sales constituted only about 1% of their total revenue. Device manufacturers, representing a small fraction of demand, had limited bargaining power and struggled to secure allocations. Larger manufacturers mitigated the impact through volume commitments and contingency clauses, while smaller firms faced production halts and were forced into merger discussions. Investor scrutiny has increased in response to these dynamics. Credit analysts now closely examine supply chain disclosures for evidence of multi-sourcing, in-house capacity, and rapid qualification protocols. In a sector where critical inputs are scarce and switching costs are high, more economic value is transferred upstream, leaving thinner residual margins for device manufacturers. This assessment directly influences equity valuations and debt covenants, reinforcing the link between supplier leverage and financial performance. Academic commentary reflects the evolving understanding of supplier power. Early studies around 2014 suggested that the broad availability of generic materials kept supplier power weak. In contrast, a 2023 Deloitte reassessment, informed by recent chip shortages, tariff fluctuations, and sterilization bottlenecks, recharacterized supplier leverage as moderate to high, particularly in electronics, specialized materials, and sterilization services. In response to these challenges, policymakers and industry stakeholders are exploring strategies to enhance supply chain resilience. Provisions within the U.S. CHIPS and Science Act aim to expand domestic capacity for specialized medical semiconductors. By 2025, about 45% of U.S. healthcare organizations had established crisis teams to renegotiate contracts and identify secondary suppliers, while tariff volatility has prompted some manufacturers to nearshore sourcing to Canadian and Mexican partners under regional trade agreements. Executives are increasingly viewing supply security spending as a strategic investment rather than a discretionary cost, with several market leaders announcing capital programs to insource production of batteries, sensors, or micro-machined components. Industry observers anticipate a push-and-pull dynamic in the future. Efforts to diversify sources, reshore critical inputs, and build redundancy will moderate supplier dominance in some areas, but the next wave of innovation, featuring AI accelerators, bioresorbable materials, and ultra-miniaturized wearables, will likely rely heavily on specialized vendors. Unless the supplier base broadens, the leverage that suppliers currently wield is unlikely to dissipate. This brings us to the threshold of the next section, where we will examine the institutional strategies that manufacturers, policymakers, and providers can deploy to restore balance to the supply chain without stifling innovation. We'll explore how joint qualification programs, government incentives, and shared risk contracting aim to rewrite the supply chain rulebook, addressing the pressing question of how to manage moderate to high supplier power in a way that supports patient access and innovation. In this section, we'll uncover how device makers, policymakers, and capital market gatekeepers are translating last decade's supply chain wake-up calls into concrete institutional strategies that aim to blunt supplier leverage without slowing the march of innovation. Picture resilience rewoven into R&D budgets. In that sense, innovation now serves as the industry's pivot from crisis triage to long-range fortification. First, a quick reminder of why the fortifications are necessary. During the 2021 to 2022 chip drought, More than 70% of medical device companies depended on a single supplier for at least one critical semiconductor, while those same foundries earned only about 1% of their sales from healthcare customers. Lead times ballooned past 52 weeks, gross margins sagged, and revenue growth for the broader sector slipped from roughly 16% in 2021 to about 3.5% in 2022. By 2025, tariff whiplash had pushed roughly 45% of U.S. provider networks to form crisis teams and renegotiate contracts. These numbers explain why both boardrooms and Congress decided that ad hoc fixes would no longer suffice. Enter the CHIPS and Science Act. Although the legislation's headline goal centers on national security and broad technology leadership, several provisions expressly encourage domestic fabrication of the specialized semiconductors that sit inside defibrillators, infusion pumps, and magnetic resonance scanners. Grants, tax credits, and accelerated depreciation schedules are calibrated to lure foundries into adding cleanroom lines capable of medical-grade qualification, lines that must endure harsh sterilization conditions and traceability audits unmatched in consumer electronics. What does that tell us? Federal incentives are being used not just to repatriate volume, but to meet the unique regulatory bar that medical devices demand, a nuance vital to investors who track long-term supply stability. For instance, the United States now has a clear plan to boost domestic semiconductor manufacturing, which could reduce reliance on foreign suppliers and mitigate risks associated with global supply chains. Corporate strategy is moving in parallel. Market leaders with robust balance sheets have announced capital programs to insource production of batteries, sensors, and micro-machined subassemblies. Here's how that looks in practice. One division may carve out space for an additive manufacturing cell that prints patient-specific titanium implants, while another retrofits a facility to wind lithium-ion cells intended for wearable monitors. Additive manufacturing. Layer by layer, three-dimensional printing that converts digital files directly into finished parts had already shortened prototyping cycles. Now it doubles as a hedge against external shortages. By internalizing steps once delegated to thinly spread vendors, firms hope to cut the designed-in lock that previously handed suppliers multi-year leverage. For example, companies like Medtronic are investing heavily in additive manufacturing to produce complex components, thereby reducing their dependence on external suppliers. Multi-sourcing rounds out the toolkit. Companies are qualifying secondary and even tertiary vendors for the same component, fully aware that each additional source drives up validation costs and inventory carrying charges. A quality system manager may have to run the same battery through duplicate bench tests, duplicated biocompatibility screens, and duplicated sterilization cycles, yet management signs off because the alternative, as recent history showed, is production stoppage. The 2023 Deloitte Outlook captured the mood. Executives increasingly classify supply security spending as a strategic investment rather than a discretionary line item. This shift in mindset is reflected in the growing number of companies adopting multi-sourcing strategies to mitigate supplier risk. The key numbers behind the shift are telling. 70%+ single supplier exposure, 52-week chip lead times, and an 11 percentage point swing in revenue growth over two fiscal years combined to erode confidence in the old just-in-time model. The plain language takeaway is that redundancy, once derided as waste, has become a badge of prudence, applauded by rating agencies that reward predictable cash flow. As a result, companies are now prioritizing supply chain resilience over cost minimization, recognizing that the benefits of a robust supply chain far outweigh the costs. Tariff volatility adds urgency. Sudden duty spikes on Asian electronics or European polymers can flip landed cost equations overnight, pushing procurement teams to source from Canadian or Mexican partners protected by regional trade pacts. Each reroute forces fresh regulatory filings and cybersecurity attestations, underlining why companies that already hold a bank of pre-qualified alternatives win time that rivals must spend in the lab. For example, some U.S. device companies have shifted component sourcing closer to final assembly sites, leveraging trade agreement stability to mitigate the impact of tariff fluctuations. Insourcing is not limited to hard metal or battery lines. Several firms are building in-house cleanroom capacity for microelectromechanical sensors, the coin-sized chips that run continuous glucose monitors and smart cardiac patches. Because these sensors must survive steam sterilization, ethylene oxide exposure, and years of bodily fluids, the knowledge curve is steep, yet the price of dependence has become steeper. Vertical moves of that kind align with earlier observations that suppliers rarely integrate forward into full-scale device manufacture. Clinical engineering, regulatory infrastructure, and hospital sales channels form a formidable moat. But nothing stops a device maker from integrating backward when capital and know-how permit. Companies are now exploring new ways to insource critical components, such as microelectromechanical systems devices, to reduce their reliance on external suppliers. Why is this important for investors? In a sector where critical inputs are scarce and switching costs are high, every dollar of operating margin saved through resilient supply converts almost one for one into free cash flow. Credit committees therefore parse earnings calls for mentions of additive manufacturing capability, redundant tooling, and CHIPS Act grant applications. A firm able to show domestic wafer capacity under contract, plus dual-source batteries and on-site three-dimensional printers, draws a lower risk premium than a peer still tethered to a lone overseas foundry. For instance, when a large manufacturer detailed its multi-sourcing program on a recent earnings webcast, debt analyst tightened covenant spreads, citing improved visibility on component availability. Additive manufacturing initiatives deliver a secondary benefit, accelerated iteration. A cranial plate printed on site can be tweaked and requalified in days, not months, preserving R&D momentum even when external suppliers are constrained. The capability dovetails with regulators' heightened post-market surveillance expectations. Digital trace files generate lineage records automatically, easing compliance audits that have grown stricter in both Washington and Brussels. Strategic insourcing is serving two masters, production security and regulatory agility, without inventing any new vulnerabilities. The CHIPS and Science Act, corporate insourcing, additive manufacturing, and multi-sourcing all aim to dilute the moderate to high supplier power we quantified earlier. Yet none eliminates it outright. Advanced detector arrays, proprietary coatings, and bioresorbable polymers remain the province of a handful of specialists worldwide. Device makers still face the cost of requalifying every alternative, and suppliers still know that once a component is designed in, leverage tilts their way. The institutional strategies now underway merely compress that leverage into a narrower band, one that investors deem tolerable. Policy architects acknowledge the limits. While domestic semiconductor grants can shorten logistics chains, they cannot conjure instant expertise in medical-grade wafer fabrication. Nor can a new three-dimensional printing line replicate a decade of material science research embedded in a patented ultra-thin coating that reduces thrombogenicity on coronary stents. In those niches, cooperation, not substitution, remains the operative word. Long-term contracts with transparent cost-sharing clauses, joint R&D roadmaps, and shared digital quality portals represent the softer side of institutional strategy, aimed at aligning incentives rather than severing ties. From the capital market's vantage point, these measures reframe supplier power as a quantifiable, hedgeable risk rather than an existential threat. Rating agencies and equity analysts track metrics like the percentage of components dual-sourced, the share of bill of materials cost produced in-house, and the number of parts covered by CHIPS Act-supported fabs. A company that scores well can weather input inflation without shredding its margin, reinforcing the sector's projected compound annual growth rate of roughly 6.8% and its path toward more than $314 billion in U.S. sales by 2032. Estimates vary, but most observers agree that collective action, federal incentives, corporate back integration, and multi-source qualification will moderate supplier dominance without erasing the premium captured by truly differentiated vendors. The bargaining position of suppliers therefore remains moderate to high, yet less volatile than during the acute pandemic cycle. Patient access and innovation should benefit if the equilibrium settles at a level where input prices stabilize and production capacity keeps pace with demographic demand for devices ranging from insulin pumps to imaging scanners. As we close this segment, remember the through line. Institutional strategy has moved from reactive bandages to structural rewiring. The CHIPS and Science Act supplies capital and policy cover. Corporate insourcing and additive manufacturing supply technical capability, multi-sourcing supplies redundancy, and investor scrutiny supplies the financial discipline that keeps each piece aligned. The forthcoming synthesis will weave these threads: supplier power, buyer power, rivalry, regulatory shifts, and technological acceleration into a comprehensive view of where the medical device industry stands as it presses toward the next decade. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.